Our first lesson today comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 44. And this passage is when Peter is summoned by a Roman centurion named Cornelius to come in response to a dream that God had sent to Cornelius. Cornelius had this dream that he should send for Peter. And so Peter comes and he shares with Cornelius and those around him the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, from Acts 10, 34 through 44. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Our epistle lesson is also words of Peter from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and continuing in verses 8 through 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things you have now been told, or the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 42 through 44. Please stand now for the reading of the gospel. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we begin our Advent series and really our series for this whole Advent season, including Christmas, is going to be focused on good news. And as 2020 is drawing to a close, I think we could all use some good news. It seems like this year good news has been hard to come by, whether it's first and foremost the COVID situation and all the things that really have resulted from that. We had earlier this year, you know, the riots and things like that as well. We kind of even forgot about the murder hornets. I don't know
whatever happened with those, but you know, that was something for a few weeks, you know, and then all the election controversy to close the year. It's really been a year that's been dominated by bad news. It seems like there's hardly ever any good news to be heard. But the reality is, and we saw this in each of our scripture passages, is that the reality is the good news has always been here. It's always been here. It's already here. But sometimes we have a tendency to get distracted by the bad. And honestly, the bad news that we've seen is really about the same as it's always been as well. Sometimes we just are drawn to it more. Maybe there's more attention paid to it. But every day, there's bad news in this world. And I think to appreciate the good news, we also need to be real when it comes to the bad news. The bad news just isn't relegated to this year. The bad news just doesn't come from time to time. Really, the reality of the bad news is that this world is a completely fallen place. It's a place that's chained to sin. It's a world that has been cursed by God and subject to death, decay, and destruction. And really, when we look at the history of the world, that's what we see. We see that throughout history. This world is chained to death. No one gets out alive, at least not by appearances. We see that this world is subject to decay. It doesn't take very long for something that's brand new to begin to show age. And we know that this world is really subject to destruction. Nothing lasts forever. And given enough time, this world will not last forever either. And really, apart from Christ, all of us, everyone who's ever lived on this earth, is also subject to that same curse. Death, decay, and destruction. So that's really the bad news. That bad news makes 2020 look like nothing. And it just helps us to realize that the bad news that we receive on a daily basis is really just a small part of that. It all stems from that. That's really the source of all the bad news in this world. And the really bad news is that we can't change it. There's nothing we can do to change those things. No matter how much technology we develop, no matter which leaders we elect, no matter what we decide to do as a people, we can't change that. Sure, you might not die of COVID, but that doesn't change the fact that someday you're going to die. Sure, your favorite candidate might not win the election, but the reality is no candidate, no president, no king can stop the bad news. And we see a world that seems to be increasingly paralyzed by fear. It seems like the fear, the amount of fear in this world seems to be growing out of control. But you know what? For those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, the reality is they aren't fearing enough. Because the news is worse than they think it is. The bad news is greater than they'd ever like to admit that it is. The reality is, without Jesus, this planet and everyone on it is doomed. Doomed to destruction, doomed to futility and meaninglessness, and no ordinary human being can change that. And that's the bad news, and we need to accept that bad news. We need to know that it's true. Because until we do, we'll never appreciate the good news. And now here's the good news. And throughout this Advent Christmas season, this is what we're going to be focused on, this theme of good news. For that's really what Christmas is all about. The good news that Jesus came down from heaven to deliver his people, to deliver us from all of that. Jesus tells us this in our gospel lesson in Luke 4:43. He says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Jesus came to bring us good news. And not just good news from across the river, not just good news from down the street, but he came to bring us the good news directly from heaven. The good news of the message that God had for his people. The good news that although the struggle remains, the victory has already been won. The good news that the curse of sin that has bound us to decay, death, and destruction has been lifted. That for all who accept this good news and put their faith and their trust in him, that they are no longer doomed to futility, but they have been given the assurance of an eternal and meaningful existence. The good news that we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and have been brought into God's kingdom of light. And the best news is that this good news is more powerful than all the bad news. For the good news tells us, it assures us, that even the bad news that we experience in this life will just be temporary. That the reality is God will one day wipe away every tear. One day God will heal every heartache. One day every wrong and injustice that has ever been done against God's people will be made right. And it's good news for us. Because when we know the end, it's much easier to absorb some of the daily bad news that we encounter. Difficult times are always easier to endure if you know that there's going to be an end to it. If you're guaranteed a better day tomorrow, you can endure a lot today. And that's the way it is with this good news. We've been given the good news, the assurance of a better tomorrow. And we're given that good news now so that we might learn to endure better the trials of this life. However, there are many people in this world who have bought into the lie that there can be good news apart from Jesus. They have bought into the lie that maybe they can even create their own good news. That if they just had the right job or enough money, if they had the right partner or the right family, if they lived in the right house or they drove the right car, that they can make their own good news. But for all who live like that, for them, it's not the bad news that's temporary. It's the good news that they've tried to create. Yes, Jesus gives us the choice. We can go out and we can live for the kingdom of this world. And when Jesus even says, you know what? You might even find some joy in that. You might find some reward in that. But he also promises us that if you live for the kingdom of this world, that that reward will be temporary. That the good things that you get in this life will be the only reward you get. And we see that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. For Jesus says to the doomed rich man who received all good things while on earth, he said that you received all your good during your life. And there's really no good left for you. All that's left for you is damnation and punishment. But he says, for Lazarus, who endured all sorts of hardships in this world, he said, now there's nothing but good things in store for him. You chose to receive all your good things in this life, and there's nothing left. But Lazarus, who is willing to endure the hardships of life, has an eternity to look forward of being comforted in the arms of God. The reality is we can't write our own good news, at least not good news that will last. For Jesus says, even if we were to gain the entire world, in Matthew 16:26, Jesus says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The reality is there's never enough good news in this earth alone. to sustain us throughout eternity. The only good news that can truly satisfy us needs to come from outside of us. It needs to come outside of this fallen world. It needs to come from heaven. And we see that that's exactly where this good news of Jesus Christ came from. It came directly from God. It was given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, in Acts 10, as Peter shared the good news with Cornelius, he emphasized the origins of his message. In verse 36, he says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." We see that this good news was not devised by human beings, but it came to us through a message sent by God himself. And that good news was not just from God, but it was carried out through God, through Jesus, the Lord of all. God delivered this message in person. He delivered it personally. He made sure that this message came to us right. And that's what makes the gospel so unique. It's not of man, but it's from God. And one good indication that it's from God is the result of it. The result of receiving the good news is freedom and joy. Being bound to God means that we're released from being bound to other human beings. Now, news that human beings usually make up isn't freeing. News that people like to make up is enslaving. For human beings, whether we like it or not, we relish in bad news. Just look at the newscasts and the newspapers. Good news doesn't sell. And as much as we'd like to say, "Oh, I wish there was more good news on TV," the reality is if there was more good news, nobody would watch it. We'd quit watching it. The thing that captures our attention is bad news. And sometimes the worse it is, the harder it is for us to look away. That's the reality. And the things that human beings like to put out there are not things that free people. But really, we like to, whether we like to admit it or not, we like to use fear to motivate people to react in the way that we want them to react in. That's the way the media works. That's the way politics works. They don't appeal to our sense of good nature. They appeal to our fear. That's why almost every ad that you see during election time are attack ads. And we like to say, "Oh, well, why can't they put out good ads?" It's because good ads don't work. What works is motivating us through fear. That's what drives us to do the things they want us to do, is to learn to be afraid of the other people. And that's what bad news does. And that's how this world works. It works through bad news. But that's not how God works. Fear enslaves, but the good news of God sets us free. The good news of Jesus sets people free from fear. Because it's not your typical earthly message. It's a unique message that comes from heaven. Again, back in our first lesson, as Peter shares with Cornelius, that final verse in our passage says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And we see, yes, that the message was delivered through men, but the origin of the message is the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that works through that message to still set people free today. And that same Peter testified in our epistle lesson in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. It says the prophets spoke through the Spirit of Christ in them. And that the gospel, the good news, comes to us today through the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. Peter also testifies in his second epistle, in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verses 19 through 21, that we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Not only does the message originate from heaven, but Peter says that because it comes from heaven, that makes this message and the witnesses that preserved it for us in Scripture completely reliable. And again, that stands in stark contrast with the bad news that we're surrounded by. It's unfortunate that not only are newscasts and newspapers filled with bad news and fear, but it's also nearly impossible to know what parts we should believe, to know what parts are actually true. But for over 2,000 years, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ has remained unchanged, and it still has the power to bring change to those who receive it. For those who receive this good news are changed. They're released from doubt and fear, and they're brought into God's kingdom, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of joy, and a kingdom of peace. For that's really what the good news is. It's the proclamation of peace, that we can have peace with God, that we can have that peace even amidst the turmoil of this world. This world likes to promise that you can have peace, but it can never deliver on that. And that's what Peter called the gospel in Acts 10:36. He called it the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. And that's the message Jesus proclaimed too during his time on earth. That message of repent and come to God and know the peace that only God can give. And really, when we repent, we're really repenting of, we're turning our back on this idea of living in fear and living in bondage to the bad news. When we repent, we really are committing to start living or to start living again in the joy and the peace of the good news. And it's really a daily exercise. It's easy for us to get sucked into the bad news. It's easy for us to give in to fear, to give in to doubt, and to give in to despair. It's easy to do. It's easy to have our minds and our eyes wander. But this Advent, we need to be reminded once again that the Spirit of Christ is one of courage, of faith, and of hope. As our opening psalm proclaimed, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If we're not at peace today, perhaps it's because we have put our hope in something uncertain, the uncertainty of this world. Maybe we've put our hope in the power that this world looks to, instead of putting our hope in the power of the name of God. In Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, we're told, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." Now, I'd venture to guess that none of us would really say that our minds are at perfect peace. For as hard as we try, our minds will wander. And we will from time to time lose focus on what really matters, and we'll begin to focus on the trouble of this world. And the truth is, Jesus was honest about this. He told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But he also tells us that we shouldn't let that trouble get the best of us. For in John 16, Jesus assures the disciples that they will never be alone, that he will be with them in the good times and the difficult times in this life. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our peace does not come from some delusion that as a Christian we will not experience bad news, but our peace comes from knowing that our hope is not affected by bad news. For the good news is more powerful. The good news is more certain. The good news is more lasting. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ has overcome the curse of the world. And that gives us hope. And that gives us joy. And that gives us courage. And that gives us peace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this good news. And we pray, Lord, that we would never let the bad news of this world drown out the shouts of that good news. We pray, Lord, that we would be filled with hope and joy. Lord, even amidst the chaos and the noise of this world, Lord, we pray that we would never lose sight of what you have done for us, Lord, of the hope that we have in you. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be ashamed of that hope, but that we would proclaim it boldly. We pray you'd give us courage, Lord, to overcome the fear in this world. We pray, Lord, that in good times and in difficult times, Lord, that people would know that we're not trusting in the power of this world. We're not trusting in the things the world puts their trust in, but that we're trusting in the name of our God, that we're trusting in the name of Jesus to give us hope and joy and peace, even in the chaos. And Lord, we pray you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit today, Lord, that we would know that this message is not an earthly message, but that it truly is a heavenly message, that it's a message that only you can bring, that it's a message that only you can fulfill in our lives. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done here on earth, among us and in us, Lord, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.